Welcome to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Our mission is to make disciples in Waycross, Ware County, Southeast Georgia, and the world beyond. We do that by teaching and doing our very best to live the truth of God on earth as it is in heaven and encouraging others along the way. The Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast can be heard Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on WASW 91.9 FM, American Family Radio. You are an important part of our ministry. Thank you for making us part of your Lord's Day celebration. Please stay tuned after the message for information on how you can receive a CD of the broadcast, a free subscription to our monthly magazine, or how to contact us if you have any questions about what you hear. Now, with the message, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
I'd like to ask you to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. We'd like to read from Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. Listen, please, to verse 3. The Word of God says in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call, this is God speaking, God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me. That's the first thought that's on my heart. And the main thought that's on my heart is that we need to call on the name of the Lord. We need to call unto God. I know that in emergencies in our lives, if on the way to church this morning, if you had seen a terrible wreck, there's a number that you would have called. What number is that? Or if you were in your home last night and you heard someone trying to break into your home, there may have been other things you would have done, but among other things, you would have called a number. If you had someone that you love and that you care about and they were to fall over and they're critically ill, there's a number that you would call. What number is that that you would call? 911. See, there is a number that we all know that when in times of an emergency, there is a number that we know to call. That number is 911. And I believe that there is some degree of security in knowing that there is a number that we can call. If we know that at that number we're going to get the help that we need, then we're going to have a degree of joy and peace in time of trouble, that we know we can dial that number, that we can call that number. In addition to that number, I think most of us have friends that in time of trouble, I have two or three friends, one in particular, that for at least the past 20 years, that when I have trouble in my life, when I have a great burden on my heart, I have a few friends that I call. I don't call everybody. I don't tell everybody. But there's one or two or three people that when I have trouble, I'm going to call those people because I want them to do what I'm trying to do, and that's to call on the name of the Lord. I'm asking them when I call them, it's not that they can fix my problem. It's just that they know who to call on. They know to call on the name of the Lord. And God tells us repeatedly in the Old and New Testaments, God tells us, call on me. Call on the name of the Lord. Call, here's the text, call unto me. And God says, and I will answer thee. You ever tried to call someone and they didn't answer? I'm not going to get into all of that about calling on the Lord this morning. I just this morning want to concentrate on the fact that these words are spoken to a man of God who loved the Lord and was serving God. And if you love God and you are serving God, and if you're a child of God that is trying to please the Lord with your life, There is a promise given to you here. Call unto me, God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, I want us this morning not just to think about the 911 or friends that we call, but more importantly than anything else, I want us to hear God telling us as his people, if we're trying to serve him in our lives, I want us to know that we need to call on the Lord. And I may not realize that I need him every moment of our lives, but the fact is I do need him every day. When I get up in the morning, there ought to be a call I make immediately. When I get in my car or truck every day, as soon as I leave the house, I have a cell phone, and I'm thankful for it most of the time. And I have that cell phone, and before I get a quarter of a mile down the road, there's somebody I always call. The beginning of the day, when I leave the house and I have some time, I call my mama every day. And usually if I get a quarter of a mile down the road and I reach for the phone and there's no phone there, you know what I do? I go back home. We've gotten to the point today that we feel like we can't go anywhere without that cell phone because we feel like we have to stay in contact with somebody all the time. Well, there's someone more important than your mom or your daddy or your brother or your sister or your husband or your wife. There's somebody that you need to call on every day. You need in the morning, as soon as you wake up, you need to make a call, and that's a call to the Lord, to call on the name of the Lord. It pleases him for us to pray. It pleases him for us to acknowledge, I need your help. Father, I need you to help me. I'm a little child that needs help. I'm your child, and I'm going to face some things today that I don't know how to face those problems. I'm going to meet people that have problems that are far bigger than anything I know what to tell them. So, Father, I'm asking you to help me today. I'm asking you to guide me today. I'm asking you, Jesus, my brother. I'm asking you, my Savior. I'm asking you, my shepherd. Help me. I'm a little sheep, and I'm calling on you. And so it is we need to call on the name of the Lord because just like you think that when you dial 911, you're going to get help, let me tell you something. You may call 911 and it may be 30 minutes before somebody gets there. But when you call on the name of the Lord, God is always there right then. You can rest assured that he's always there. You can rest assured that he calling to me and I will answer thee. Back up to the previous page in your Bible and let's listen to the one, what the Word of God says about the one that we call on. In Jeremiah chapter 32, listen to verse 17. Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord God." Do you hear whom we're talking about? That's the one that we're to call on. Not just some little Buddha, some little Allah, some God that is no God. But we're talking about the sovereign God of heaven and earth. We're talking about the one true and living God. Call on him. And you won't get a recording, you'll get an answer from God himself. He says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Now I may call different people for different things, and they may say, "I'm sorry." I may call a doctor. I may go to a doctor. I may go to a hospital, and they may say, "There's nothing we can do for you." That is that we're outside their reach. They don't know what to do. Sometimes doctors can't even diagnose the problem. I'm talking about someone who spoke this world into existence. Aren't you glad you have faith and you can just read Genesis chapter 1, and you read how darkness covered the face of the earth. And God spoke, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And you read that first chapter of Genesis, And listen, brethren, if you think the world took millions of years to form, I'm sorry for you. You need to believe what God's Word says. Because if you'll believe what God says about the creation of this world, it'll help you to know the one that you call on who created the heavens and the earth. You know He's able to do that. You know He's able to speak, and it's done. You know that even before you call on Him, He already knows your need. And you know the sovereign God, that you've got confidence when you call on Him that He's going to be there. You've got confidence He alone can help you. And so you call on Him. He created the heavens and the earth. And then Jeremiah says, and there's nothing too hard for thee. Does not matter what your problem is. Doesn't matter if it's family trouble. It doesn't matter whether it's aches and pains in your body. Doesn't matter whether it's heart problems or cancer. It does not matter what your problems are. God is able. There is nothing too hard for God. Can God fix mental problems? Yes, He can. Can God fix all kinds of problems? Yes, He can. The United States of America is as near destruction as it can be. Can God fix our nation? Yes, He can. In fact, He is the only one who can fix our nation. There's no political party. There's no individual. You can work as hard as you want to. The only hope for America is the same one that blessed us in the foundation of our nation, and that's the God of heaven and earth. We've got a lot of big problems. And we see they're not being fixed, and we think, I could fix them if I was in a position of authority. I'll tell you, you can't fix them by yourself. If you were the president of the United States, you could not fix the problems in America. God is the only one, and we need to call on the name of the Lord. Everybody here, we need to call on the name of the Lord. Jesus says, the Word of God says, pray without ceasing. Jesus says, men ought always to pray, call on His name. Whatever you need, not everything you want, but whatever you need, if you're a disciple of Christ, He's saying to you this morning, call unto Me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, God can show you things in His Word that you don't know. And that you can't understand without God showing it to you. When Philip went to the eunuch, and he said, Understandest thou what thou readest? He says, how can I? I can't understand it. I can't understand the Word of God. Anything you know about God, anything you know about the truth of God, it's because God showed it to you. God, call on the name of the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand this scripture. I don't understand this Bible. Call on the name of the Lord. Don't you ever even pick up the Bible without calling on the name of the Lord. You call on the name of the Lord before you go to His book. Call on the name of the Lord. You get up in the morning, you call on the name of the Lord. All during the day, you need to keep calling on the name of the Lord. Let me say this before I forget it. Do you know what the name of the Lord is? You know, names are important. I've been studying a lot this week just about names, and I've gone in about 15 different directions in knowing what to preach today. But you need to call on the name of the Lord, but you can't call on the name of the Lord if you don't know what the name of the Lord is. If you don't know what the name of the Lord is, you can't call on the name of the Lord. Do you know the names of everybody in this building this morning? Do you know everybody's name? Probably most of us don't know everybody's name. People like to hear their names. God says, call on My name. Call on My name. When Peter was going into the temple, there was a lame man there, and the man wanted silver and gold. He asked, was he calling on Peter to give him something? The scripture says that man asked for alms. He asked for silver and gold. He asked for some money. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee in the name. He didn't just say in the name of the Lord. He said, in the name. This name is above every name. This name is the greatest name in all the world. This is the name that you're to go to God in prayer with. This is the name that you call on every day. Call on the name of the Lord. And Peter, when he was looking at that lame man, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in his name, rise up and walk. And then the scripture says, and Peter took him by the hand and lifted him up. And that man began to walk because Peter called on the name of the Lord. What was the name he called on? What was his name? Jesus. Jesus. All through the scriptures, we need to understand the significance and the power of his name. And when you call on the name of the Lord, you need to say, Jesus. There's something about that name. It's his name. When you read in Matthew 28 that the Word of God tells us that Jesus sent out his apostles to baptize. He says, and as ye go, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He did not say, baptize them in the names, plural, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And if you read the book of Acts, every time that they baptized anyone, the scripture says they baptized them in the name of Jesus. That's the name. That's the name that you need to call on. You need to know him by name. You need to know him by name. You need to call on the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 10 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brethren, we need to call on the name of the Lord. I need salvation day by day in my life. I know a lot of people right now that they need salvation. They need deliverance. That's all we mean. That's all the word saved means. Sometimes when we hear the word saved, all we think about is being saved from eternal hell to eternal heaven. Well, brethren, Jesus is the one who saves from eternal hell to eternal heaven. He's the one that brings about eternal salvation, but he's also the one who saves us day by day when we're having trouble. And we need to say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. I need you. I need to call on his name. Call on Jesus. You remember that Jeremiah says right here, there is nothing too hard for thee. You hear what Jeremiah says? Lord, there's nothing too hard for thee. Was he stating truth? Was he glorifying God when he said, there's nothing too hard for thee? And then God speaks back to him in Jeremiah chapter, same chapter, Jeremiah 32. Come down to verse 26, Jeremiah 32. You remember what does God say over there in Jeremiah 33:3? Call unto me and I will what? I will answer thee. What's Jeremiah doing in Jeremiah 32:17? He's calling unto the Lord. Jeremiah 32, verse 26, the scripture says, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Isn't that wonderful that God asked Jeremiah a question? Is there anything too hard for me? See, Jeremiah's already said, there's nothing too hard for thee. And yet God says, as he speaks back to him, is there anything too hard for me? Sometimes we think that we can say and we believe, Lord, nothing is impossible with you. But then we think, well, this is a different situation here. He can't fix this problem. Well, yes, he can. Is there anything? God asked the question, is there anything too hard for me? There's nothing too hard for him. Therefore, no matter what your problems are, what do you need to do? Who do you need to call? You need to call on, give me just one word, Jesus. Call on Jesus. Call him. Have you called your mom? Is your mama alive? Brother John, your mama's alive. You'll probably see her today, right? Is she cooking lunch today for you? No, we got lunch here. I forgot about that. Call. If your mama's alive, you call your mama. If your daddy's alive, you call your daddy. They like to hear from you. If your grandparents are alive, you call your grandmama and you call your granddaddy. But above all these other calls you make, you remember there's another call that you need to be making over and over and over. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Go with me back to 2 Samuel. Back up in your Bible very quickly to 2 Samuel chapter 22. Please look at this in your Bibles in 2 Samuel chapter 22. I want to begin with verse 1. Please follow in God's Word as I try to read from 2 Samuel chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. And while you're reading there, let me say this very quickly, that sometimes you call and you think he didn't even hear you. But I'm telling you, brethren, you need to keep calling, keep calling, keep calling on the name of the Lord. Keep calling on him. Jesus told us several parables that would help us understand that he's not always going to fix the problem to begin with. He's not always going to help us immediately. It takes faith to keep believing. God, I'm calling on your name. You didn't fix the problem today, God. Here I am again. It's me again. And I'm calling you today. And this is lunchtime now. I'm calling you again. This is supper time. I'm calling you again. And you say, this is 9 o'clock. I'm calling you now. It's 10 o'clock. I'm here again, Lord. It's me again. And you call at 9 o'clock and you call at 10 after nine. And the more difficult your problems, the more you're going to keep calling on him and calling on him, because you know there's nobody else you can call, and you just call, and eventually you're going to be calling continuously, Lord, help me. Lord, Jesus, help me. Importunity is the word that's used in the Bible. I think it's in Luke chapter 11. Jesus gives a parable there and talks about a person's importunity. That means, in essence, it means persistence. Just keep on praying. And that's the whole message there. He says, keep on praying. Keep on calling on the name of the Lord. Look now at 2 Samuel chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. 2 Samuel 22, beginning with verse 1. David says, the scripture says, and David spake unto the Lord. He talked with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? He spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, out of the hand of Saul. You see, David had a lot of enemies. A lot of people hated King David. And the Lord's the one that delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies, and even delivered him out of the hand of King Saul over and over. And so the Lord, David wrote this song, and he said, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. You know what the word deliverer means? Savior. Savior. The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. The God of my rock. In him will I trust. Let me ask you again. If you don't trust 911, you're not going to call 911. Does everybody understand that? If you don't trust 911, you're not going to call 911. If you don't trust God, you're not going to call on the Lord. If you don't believe God cares, you're not going to call on the name of the Lord. If you don't believe God is able to help you, you're not going to call on the name of the Lord. But if you believe that he does care and you believe he is able, then you're going to call on the name of the Lord. He says in verse 3, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. He didn't just say saved one time. Thou savest over and over and over and over. Thou savest me from mine enemies. Then he says verse 4 now, from violence. Then in verse 4 he says, I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. You hear what he says? I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Verse 7, just for the sake of time, look at verse 7. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Have you ever called unto the Lord and you knew he heard your voice? Have you ever called unto the Lord and you knew that your that your voice entered into his ears, you need to shout and sing and praise Amazing Grace, because you're not worthy to call on the name of the Lord. And the only way that you can call on the name of the Lord, the only way you can go to the throne of grace, is because of Jesus Christ. You see, we go to the Father through the only mediator between God and man. The only mediator. Did you know I'm not your mediator? I can be your intercessor, but I'm not your mediator. Jesus is the only mediator. An intercessor is somebody that's praying for you, and Jesus is your intercessor, but Jesus is your mediator. And when you go to God in prayer, I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We ask these things for his sake and in the name of Jesus. You know why? It's because we need to call on the name of the Lord. Go with me in closing to 1 Peter chapter 3. Look in your Bibles very quickly at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. The Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, the Word of God says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." Isn't that good? Aren't you glad? The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Aren't you glad? His ears are open unto their prayers. Aren't you glad? But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It behooves us, brethren, it behooves us that we try to live a life that would honor and glorify God every day. It is extremely important that as he calls on us, listen carefully, as God calls on us to do various things in our lives, it's important that we listen to God and that we do what he says. And if we listen to him and obey him when he calls on us, then we can call on him and he will hear our prayers. May God help us to believe his word and to call on the Lord every day. You won't leave home. Listen, how many of you won't hardly leave home without your cell phone? I'm going to ask you this. How many of you have your cell phones here today? Hold up your hand if you got your cell phone here. Shame on you. I'm picking on you. The only reason I don't bring it is because I get mad when I hear cell phones ring in church. And I think, well, maybe I can make it 2 hours while I'm at church. I'm not picking on you for having your cell phone. What I'm trying to emphasize is, you have your cell phone. Have you called on the Lord today? Have you really, really called on the Lord? If you didn't get an answer, you keep calling. And you start living closer to him. And you'll feel him answering. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast. We hope you have enjoyed and were blessed by the first message. Now, on to the second message for today. The pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
God has not promised us that if we follow him, that we will not have trouble. God has not promised that we will not have sickness. There are a lot of people that think that if you serve the Lord and you're faithful to God, then you're not going to have sickness. They think that you're going to be well off financially, that you're not going to have financial problems, that you're not going to have all other kinds of problems. But I want you to know that the most faithful saints of God have often been the ones that had the greatest trouble in their lives, both in sickness and problems, financial problems, and all other kinds of trouble. Trouble abounds sometimes in the most faithful saints of God. You look at the life of Jesus, and you'll see a life of continuous persecution. You look at his life, and you see somebody that was forsaken by his very best friends. You look at the life of Jesus, and you see that he was a poor man. He told those that would follow him, he said, "The birds of the air have their nest and the foxes have their holes, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head." Didn't even have a house, didn't have a home. He was a very poor man. So the idea that if you serve God, then all is going to be well and you aren't going to have any problems, that's a lie from the devil. The Word of God says, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Bible is full of teachings to the people of God that we will suffer in this world. We have physical problems, we have financial problems, we have all other kinds of trouble, just like anyone else in the world. Jeremiah was struggling with that in Jeremiah chapter 12. I want to begin with verse 1, Jeremiah chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Jeremiah says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments." In other words, he's kind of saying, have you looked over there at that wicked man over there? Have you looked over there and you seen that man's wickedness? Why don't you carry out judgment in their lives? And so that's what he seems to be saying. When I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. And I encourage you again now, go home and read Psalm 73. You'll see that the feeling that Jeremiah had is a feeling that the psalmist had there. I'm not going to turn and read that, but I want you to listen to the response that's given. Listen to what God says. Verse 5, God says, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? What's the picture that you get there? What's the picture in your mind? Do you picture a battlefield, and you look at footmen? What are we talking about? We're talking about the infantry there, men, soldiers that are on their feet. He says, if you have run with the footmen, if you've run against men that are on feet, and they have wearied thee, he says, then how canst thou contend with horses? If the little problems of life, do you know that we're all engaged in a battle? We're all engaged in a warfare. The Word of God says that we're soldiers of Jesus Christ. We're engaged in a battle with Satan every day of our lives. And so it is that God says, now if you've run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, if you've had problems that were not major trouble, and you've gotten weak and weary and faint, and you're crying and murmuring and complaining about the little problems that you have, what are you going to do when the big problems come in your life? Brethren, there's some big problems in this world. Sometimes I talk with people and, for example, little McKinley Kersey that's 9 years old, and you know, her life and all of her family's life, her parents' life, her grandparents' life, all of their lives changed in 1 week. Everything that seemed like a major problem, they are no problems anymore. Everything that looked like this is a problem and this is a problem, I'll tell you, when that 9-year-old got cancer, everything else was put on the back burner. The mama and the daddy are there at the hospital. Everything else was set aside in their lives. There are no problems now that compare to that one problem. And the only problem they care about is their daughter getting well. Now, that's a horseman, brethren. When your child is dying with cancer, that's the horseman have arrived. That's when as big a problem as that there ever is has come. Sometimes people tell me as they're talking about their problems, and I say, let me share some other problems with you that I want you to pray about, and I'll tell them about this problem or that problem that are common problems that are well known. I'm talking about major illnesses like cancer. And then they say, you know, you've kind of put things in perspective. And the things that looked like these were big problems, and we wanted to murmur and complain and cry because we have these little problems and we're discouraged because of little problems. The questions being asked here of Jeremiah, if you're going to let these little problems bother you, if you're going to let my not carrying out judgment against the wicked, if you're going to let that get you down, you better prepare for major trouble ahead. What are you going to do? If you can't face the little problems, what are you going to do when the big problems come in your life? And we're all going to have the footmen to contend with. We're going to have the little problems. We're going to have the soldiers, the foot soldiers to fight. We're going to have the battles that we have to fight. We're going to have the trials of life. And if we'll face those trials of life in the right way by looking to God and asking God to help us in the little trials, then when we face the big trials, we'll still go right back to God and say, God, you helped me beat this individual. You helped me beat this problem. You helped me overcome this trial. You helped me get over this affliction. Now help me again with this big problem that's coming in my life. I want you to back up and think about Job. Back up in your Bibles very quickly to the book of Job. Look at Job chapter 1. Now, the book of Job kind of starts out as far as what we're looking at in the book of Job. Would you say that Job chapter 1 would be talking about the footman of the battle, or would Job chapter 1 be talking about the horseman of the battle? What would you say in Job chapter 1? Are those the footmen or are those the horsemen? I think those are the horsemen. But I want you to know that even though the book of Job, chapter 1, starts telling all about these horsemen that are coming, big problems, major problems, I want you to know Job had already been facing a lot of other footmen in his life before these horsemen came along. It's just like in the life of Abraham, when God said, now, Abraham, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, take him up and offer him as a sacrifice there on the mountain. And Abraham immediately took his son and began to go up on that mountain. That was a horseman trial of his faith. That was as big a trial of a man's faith as could possibly be. But that only came after God had said, now, Abraham, leave your father and your mother, leave your kindred, leave your land, and go out to a place that I'll show you. Listen, brethren, God had called on Abraham to do a major horseman thing there. But there had been a lot of other things before that. I'm telling you that God never allows the horseman to come in your life without first seeing your response to the footman. That does not mean the horseman will not come. But it does mean that when the footman come, if you know what to do, you will be able to also face the horseman. When David said, as he began to face Goliath, what did he do? He reflected back, I fought the lion. God, who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. Was he facing a horseman there when he faced Goliath? Was that a horseman? I think that it was. I think he was facing a horseman when he fought the bear and fought the lion. But I'll tell you, if you were to go back in David's life, you will find that David fought the footman before he ever faced those horsemen. And if you and I don't know how to contend with the footman, if we are not handling the smaller problems of life, we'll never be able to handle the big problems. And they're coming, understand, in all of our lives. The horseman days, the big problems, the major trials and afflictions and tribulations, they're going to come. Now, there are troubles sometimes that come because of God's judgment. But what I'm mainly talking about right now tonight are the trials that come into the lives of the faithful saints of God. Because see, Jeremiah was a man of God that loved God and feared God and served God. He was a faithful prophet of God. And yet he had that trial of looking around and seeing the wicked were prospering. And it got him weary. And you know what God said that was? Was that a footman or a horseman thing that he was facing in his life right there? Jeremiah chapter 12. Was that a footman or a horseman? That was a footman. Because God says, now Jeremiah, if you have let the footman weary you, what are you going to do when the horsemen come? Now what do you do when the footmen come? That's the question. Do you know what to do when you have trials and afflictions and tribulations? Do you know what to do When you have sickness, do you know what to do? When you have financial problems, do you know what to do? When you have family trouble, do you know what to do? Well, it's much like Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, as the Assyrian army was coming against Judah. And the king Jehoshaphat said, "We don't have any strength. We don't have any wisdom to know what to do." He says, "But our eyes are upon thee." Did he know what to do? He knew exactly what to do. That when the footmen were coming in and the horsemen were coming in, he knew the only answer for a child of God is not for them to lean in their own strength or of their own understanding, but their only hope is to go to the one who can give them the wisdom to know what to do and the strength to fight those battles. Who knows what you're going to face in your life tonight? Who knows what you're going to face in your life tomorrow? It may be footmen, or it may be horsemen. But if you can't handle the footmen, understand the horsemen are going to just trample you under feet. You and I, as the people of God, we have to learn how to handle the problems of life. And the only answer to all of our problems, the only way you can keep going, is much like the songwriter said, "My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, my Savior divine." I'll tell you, he's not only the one that saved me from eternal hell to eternal heaven, but Jesus is the one that saves me day by day when the horsemen come or the footmen come. It's Jesus who is the captain of our salvation. It's Jesus that can help us. It's the name of the Lord that we must call on. When the footmen come, call on the name of the Lord. And when the horsemen come, call on the name of the Lord. Here is Job now. He's already faced all these footmen earlier in his life. The Bible doesn't tell us all about the footmen. The scene in Job's life just comes up with the horsemen coming. Well, how do you know he's already faced the footmen? How do you know that? Because Job chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil." Now that was his condition before all these problems came. Had he already been faithful to God? Had he already resisted temptation? Had Satan come with him with one temptation after another? Had Satan tried to afflict him already in his life? Yes. And as all those footmen came in Job's life, Job looked to God for the strength and the grace he needed. And then, here's the way it's expressed in another place in the scriptures. I think it's in 2 Chronicles, the Word of God talks about how the children of Israel had been fighting one battle after another, and they were weak and weary and faint. And you think, okay, now they've just fought all these battles. Now they need some rest. And you know what the Scripture says then? Then came Sennacherib. You know, you would think, Lord, give them some rest. They faced all these battles, and yet the Bible says that when all those battles had been won by the grace of God, then came Sennacherib of the Assyrian army, coming against the children of Israel. It was a greater battle than they had ever faced, and they were already weak and weary and faint from all these other battles. And then came Sennacherib. Sometimes people say, well, it can't get any worse than this. Well, fasten your seatbelt. You probably haven't been facing anything but the footmen, and here come the horsemen. I don't say that to discourage you. I say that to encourage you, because the same solution that gives you victory over the footmen, the same one who gives you victory over the smaller problems of life, and if you think you got the victory by yourself, you're going to find out that's not true. But if you know that God's the one that gave you the victory with the footmen and all these other battles that you fought, then when you come to the big problems of life, you're going to know the same one that helped you in these problems are the one that's now going to help you as you face the horsemen. Understand that horsemen are not a problem to God. You remember when the horsemen came after the children of Israel? Remember how the children of Israel were fleeing out of Egypt? They didn't have horses. They were fleeing out of Egypt. They got to the border of the Red Sea. and the Egyptian army was behind them, and they were on their horses and their chariots. Here come the horsemen. Had they already faced a lot of hard times in their lives? Had they been tasked? Had they been living under taskmasters back there in Egypt? Had they had a lot of footmen that had attacked them repeatedly? Yes, the footmen had come, but now here they are at the Red Sea, and the horsemen are behind them. And what did they do? They did like Psalm 121 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. What a mighty God we serve. He created the heavens and the earth. He spoke this world into existence. Is an army of horsemen, is that a problem for God? Absolutely not. So what happened to that army of horsemen that was chasing the children of Israel? God just opened up that sea and the children of Israel went through on dry ground. And then those horsemen, as they continued to pursue the children of Israel, what did God do to those horsemen? Let me back up. What did the children of Israel do to those horsemen? What did the children of Israel do to those horsemen? They did nothing. They couldn't do anything. But who won the victory? Who were they looking to for the victory? They were looking to God. They were dependent upon God. They trusted in God. Trust in God in the little things. And when the big things come, you're going to have established a pattern. Lord, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to look to you right now. Lord, I don't know what to do with this little problem, but I'm going to look to you right now. Let me tell you something. There are no problems too small for you to be praying about. You ask God for wisdom in every decision that you make in your life. Because if you don't, you're going to make some wrong decisions in your life. So please, seek the Lord's guidance. Job already faced all the footmen that he's already faced up to this point. And then we come to Job chapter 1. And I'm not going to read all of this, Job 1 and 2. But brethren, I have to touch on some of this because this is one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture in all the Word of God. I know that you know it. You may know it by heart. But I want you to listen to it again because it's important, because you're going to have these kinds of problems in your life. What's the first thing that Job lost? What's the first thing? And I'm not talking specifically. I mean, I know that he lost his oxen and his asses and his servants. And I want you to notice verse 16. After one of his servants came, And the last phrase in verse 15, after he told them that the oxes and the asses and the servants have been taken by the Sabaeans, he says, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Only one servant was left. Do you follow that? Only one servant was left. And he runs to Job and tells him what he just lost. And the scripture says in verse 16, while he was yet speaking, in the very moment that this man was speaking, that this servant has just told him he lost his oxen and his asses and his servants, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Bad problems, right? Can't get any worse than that. Pete, how many of you have ever heard trouble comes in threes? Have you ever heard that? Well, I'll tell you what, it can come in fours or fives or tens or hundreds. Don't ever think it's over at three. And so the third major news that he got that day is in verse 17. While he was yet speaking, I want you to know that all this happened to Job in one day. You talk about a bad day. I don't know of anybody in the Bible other than Jesus Christ himself that had a worse day in one day than Job did on this day. While that servant was yet speaking, there came, verse 17 says, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans came out. The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now that was the end of all his possessions. Did everybody hear that? That was the end of all. He just lost all his possessions. Well, thank goodness. Here's what the devil would say. Thank goodness that's over with. Thank goodness that was number three. The next verse says, while he was yet speaking, there came also another. Let me tell you something, brethren. I've been in this position where I've lost all my possessions. We lost our house. We lost everything we owned to pay the medical bills for our first child, or for our child Michael that was sick for 8 months. We lost everything we had. Do you understand that? all our possessions were gone. And I had this feeling in my heart, it's all right. I'm willing to give it all up if Michael can just live. Does everybody follow that? I was happy. I didn't think I would ever be willing to give up the possessions I had. I didn't think I would ever be willing to give them up, but I was ready to give them up. God made me ready. And then I gave them all up, and I thought, okay, Lord, I've learned the lesson now. Now make him well. Because I felt like he was going to be a preacher. I really did. And then he died. The horseman came. That's right. Losing that gun collection and coin collection and all that other stuff, losing our furniture and losing our house, all of that, that was just the footman. I thought that was the horseman. That was just the footman. And then the horseman came. Brethren, there are some major problems in this world. Some of you are in the middle of some major problems. The horsemen are here. Some of you are still facing the footman. But I want you to know everybody here is going to face the footman and the horseman. You're going to face them all. And the only way you're going to survive those battles is if you know what to do in the time of battle. Did you know even the footman will win the battle if you don't look to the Lord? And the horseman will certainly win the battle if you don't look to the Lord. If you haven't already established the right pattern when you face the footman, when the horsemen get there, you'll fold every time. You'll fold up. You can't stand it. And the scripture says in verse 18, and while that servant had just been speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they're dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. All ten of Job's children died. And it wasn't some army that came and took their lives. There was a mighty wind that came and took all ten of those children. Was that a horseman? Was the horseman there? And I don't care how you describe everything else. I think all these are horsemen, but I'll tell you the worst horseman came in verse 18. And then in verse 20, the scripture says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Could he have blamed God for allowing that wind to come and take his children? Sure. I've seen people that when they lost their spouse or when they lost their children, I've watched people who have been faithful to God in many ways. I've watched them turn on God and hate God the rest of their lives. And more trouble came in their lives. Lives were ruined. Job worshiped. Said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. And that's an important lesson for everybody here to learn. You're not going to leave here with anything in this world. You came into this world naked, you're going to leave without any possessions. Hold on to them all you want to. Just grab hold, hide them, do what you want to. But you're going to leave them all right here. You might as well go ahead and share some with somebody else, because you're going to lose them sooner or later. And if you're so greedy that you won't share with other people, understand God will fix it so it'll go to other people anyway. And then, now the horseman, that's the worst. It's all over with Job, isn't it? I mean, the worst is over, right? No. Because the next chapter says that Satan came, and I'm not going to get into that. There's a very important lesson in verse 2. But I want to come down to verse 5. We're in Job 2, verse 5, And Satan said, put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. You can't take his life. Verse 6 says, so what Satan went forth from presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. I tell you, he had boils all over his body. Well, we read sometimes about leprosy. What he had was as bad or worse than leprosy. He couldn't sit down. He couldn't lay down. He couldn't stand up. He could not find relief from that pain in any position that he got in. He was hurting all over his body. And the scripture says, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife, oh, no. Oh, no. Brethren, I've been at death's door for weeks. But you know who stood by me week after week after week, 3 weeks of being unconscious and then just kept standing several times in my life? You know who's been with me all the way through it all? My wife. I hope I don't ever have to face that horseman. Job's wife said, verse 10, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? That word evil means trouble. In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Amazing man. He faced the footman, and he faced the horseman, and he won those battles. To this day, thousands of years later, people still find great solace as they have trouble in their lives. They find great peace and joy as they read about the life of Job. And they read what he did. And they read how he reacted to the footman and the horseman. And they praise God that Job never yielded to the temptation to curse God. Can you do that? With God's help, by the grace of God, you can face whatever comes in your life. May God help me and God help you, that as Satan comes and tempts us, that we would do like Jesus, that we would use the Word of God, that we would quote the Word of God, that we'd hold on to the Word of God, that we'd hold on to the Scriptures, and that we'd hold on to Jesus. Hold on to the living Word and hold on to the written Word, because God cannot lie. You be faithful to God and you look to God, and you can face the footman and you can face the horseman. You put on the whole armor of God. You put on the whole armor of God, and you'll be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. May God help us, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Find us on your radio Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on 91.9 FM, WASW, American Family Radio. We are committed to helping every child of God grow in their Christian walk with the Lord. If you would like a free subscription to our monthly magazine or a CD of the broadcast you just heard, please write us at the Trumpet of Truth, 655 Acock Road, Waycross, Georgia, 31503.